So scripture reading, y'all. Our scripture this morning is coming from Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 through 21. Amen. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 through 21. So glad that Big Robert is up in the house today. Amen. It reads as thus. Now all glory to God, who is, come on, y'all. Now all glory to God who is,
able.
Oh, y'all ain't got loud enough yet. Now all glory to God who is,
able.
That's what I'm talking about. Through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we can ask or think. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations forever and ever. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we can ask or even think, according to the power that works in us. Now unto him who's able. God, that's our confession today, that you are able. That whatever we're dealing with, God, you are able. Whatever we're going through, you are able, oh God. You are all powerful. You are God all by yourself. You are sovereign. There's nobody like you, oh God. You are able, oh God. You can do anything but fail. That's our confession today, oh God. And we bless you and we praise you. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank God for a brother by the name of Dennis McConaughey. I was reading an article about him the other day, and I just happened to borrow a few words from him as well. Amen. And so I want to let y'all know today that God is bigger than our box. Our boxes. Let the babies praise the Lord. Boxes come in all different shapes, sizes. Some of y'all know that emblem right there. Yes, that's Amazon. Does some of y'all see these boxes at your door? Sister Tony, like, why are you looking at me? On a regular basis. That boxes contain something. Whether it's a shipping box, jewelry box. Ladies, some of y'all love to see these. Maybe it's a huge moving box. But what we know about boxes is that they are meant to contain something. That whatever you put in the box cannot move outside the perimeters of the box because the box holds it. Listen. We live in, whether you know it or not, we live in a box. We call it a house. That whether you're in a house or an apartment, it generally has four sides to it. It's our house box. It's a box. But it's a place where we make our living comfortable. That in our boxes we have our flat screen TVs. That we have our sofas and our recliners in our home, our box, that it's a place of comfort. That some of y'all got Sealy Posturepedic and Tempur-Pedic and Cloud and whatever it is. But we make our boxes as comfortable as we can. It's our box. Listen to me. In our text for today, the Apostle Paul prays for spiritual growth of believers in the church at Ephesus and for all times, for you and for me. He prays that we would experience inner strength through the power of the Holy Spirit. He prays that believers would allow Christ to make his home in our hearts by trusting him. That God didn't want to live inside of you like he's at a Motel 6 that he's going to check out at some time. But God wants to make his home. He wants to reside in your heart, in my heart, for all times. Listen, Paul prayed that believers would be rooted and grounded in God's love, that we would understand the fullness of God's love for us, to know how wide it is, how long it is, how high it is, and how deep it is. Paul prayed that believers would be filled to the fullness of the life and the power that comes from God Almighty, that our spiritual lives would overflow, that the boundaries would overflow. That Paul prays that we would be filled to the fullness, to capacity and beyond, so that whatever's inside of us would overflow and it would come out. But I wonder this morning, when we think about growth, spiritual growth, that a lot of us focus on personal growth, emotional growth, educational growth, career growth, but how many of us really focus on spiritual growth and growing in the Lord? What if God wanted to grow you in some ways that would simply blow your mind? What if God wanted to use you in a way that you never thought God could use you before? I wonder, would you let him? Can he fill you to capacity and beyond? Can he fill you to fullness until you overflow? Will you allow God to do that in your life? Can he expand the space in our hearts to do greater things for him? Can we move out of our own comfort zones, get out of our own way, and move beyond our own limitations, our own boundaries that we set for ourselves, and allow God to use us in powerful ways? Can God use you in a powerful way on your job? Can God use you to be the man of God that he wants you to be in your household? Can God use you as a woman that he wants you to be in your neighborhood and in your community? Can God expand you? Life in the box happens when we underestimate God's ability and resources, and we limit what we believe God can do in our lives. That we stick with the safe. We stick with the norms. We stick with the status quo. We stick with the comfortable. Even sometimes in our worship and praise, y'all, we stick with the status quo, what's comfortable for us, and we refuse to move outside of our own comfort zone, our own limits and limitations. But I'm here to tell you, God wants to use you in a mighty way. That's what he's saying to the church. That's what Paul is praying for the church in Ephesus and for us today. That we would get out of the way and allow God to use us the way God wants to use us. God is not confined to our own limitations, our own boundaries, our own thoughts, our imaginations in terms of what God can do in your life and my life. So don't put God or yourself in a box. God is so much bigger than your box. God is so much bigger than my box. And I want to let you know today that God wants to do greater through you and me. And so I believe that Paul's prayer for the Ephesians and Paul's prayer for us today in this doxology, these closing words of worship and praise that Paul gives to God can help us today. To help us to break through our boxes, to live above our limits and get beyond our self-imposed boundaries. Paul reminds us first today, y'all, listen, God is able. There's power above us. That's why I know he's able. That God's power is above us. It's beyond us. His power is independent of us. God transcends our existence, but in his grace and his love, for he descends into our human experience, that God is sovereign. And to say that God is sovereign means that God can do what he wants to do, when he wants to do it, and how he wants to do it, because he's God and he's God all by himself. Psalm 115 verse 3 says this: our God is in the heavens above. He does as he wishes. Isaiah chapter 46 verse 10 says this: only I can tell you the future before it happens. Everything I plan will come to pass for what I do and whatever I wish. That God knows the end from the beginning. That God knew the day that you would be born. God knows the day that you will die. And God knew that before you were ever here. God knows every bump in the road that will come your way. God knows every hill and valley that will come your way. God knows everything about you. God knows everything about your life because he's sovereign. He's God all by himself. I think about Genesis chapter 18. Abraham and Sarah wanted a child. And so God is out speaking with Abraham and telling him how he's going to bless Sarah's womb, that they were now old in age and they were going to have a baby. And you get over to Genesis 18, it says that Sarah laughed when she heard that in her old age she was going to have a baby. Ladies, I declare some of y'all do more than laugh, but she laughed. But God says this. He says to Abraham, why is old girl, why Sarah laughing? And he says this, is there anything too hard for God? Can I ask you that question this morning? What do you need from him? Is there anything too hard for God? There are things too hard for us. Things we cannot do, things we cannot, but is there anything that God cannot do? Is there anything too hard for God? And so we attempt to put God in the box because of our own limited understanding of God and what we think God can and cannot. We make assumptions about God that are not true, that God chooses to operate how he wants to operate, when he wants to operate, however he chooses to do it. He's God and he can do it because he's sovereign. That his power is above us. It stands outside of us. And I get kind of nervous sometimes when you get religious people. Sometimes you get preachers and, you know, people that try to tell you, you know, they know it, pretty much everything that God is doing and why he's doing. I don't. Can I humbly say to you that sometimes God is operating in my life and I declare to you I don't understand what God is doing. That it makes absolutely no sense to me. That if I had my druthers, if I had another way, I'd say, God, we need to do this another way, not like this. But I don't get the opportunity. It's not my privilege to tell God what to do. And we got folk that are standing before coming, and like they're going to tell God what to do. That you can speak this or that, and God's not a black. He don't have to do it. That God is sovereign. That his power stands outside of us, but because of his love for us, his great love for us, God acts on our behalf. And I know when God acts on our behalf, we get more. We get so much more when we get out of the way and let God have his way. You always get so much more. And so there's this old children's song. It's not that old that we used to sing. It used to go something like this. My God is so big. So strong and so mighty, there's nothing my God cannot do. I wonder how many people in the house today, that's your mantra, that's your song to do, that you understand there's nothing that your God cannot do, that he's a strong God, that he's a mighty God, that he's a great God, that he's an awesome God in his power and in his wonder, and there's nothing that God cannot do. And so, we have to recognize that, believe it, and understand it. If we're going to get beyond our own limitations, those thoughts in our heads about our past failures and fears, and we try to put God in that same box, to get beyond it, we have to understand God is not in that box, and God does not want you in that box. That God is all powerful. There is nothing that he cannot do in your life, however he chooses to do it. God is able. We also need to know that God is able, there is power within us. That his power is at work in us. Now all glory to God who is able through his mighty power at work. Where? Y'all reading your Bible? It's within us. Now this might surprise some folk. That God's power, that God is at work in us, in you and me. The power that saves us. Is the same power that God uses to transform us and to transform us and to use us for his purpose. You know, the word power It's really translated into a word, an English word that we call dynamite. That it's dynamite power, it's explosive energy, it's awesome ability. There is tremendous power given to us, but guess what? It's at work inside of us by the power of the Holy Spirit. God is at work in you and me. It's God's power. Jesus speaks to his disciples in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit comes upon you. But I see a problem. That there's so many people who profess Christ. So many people who are in Christ and in the church that are living lives without power. That they're powerless. And I wonder why. Is it possible that we're powerless because we attempt to put God in the same box that we are? Well, I can't do this, and so God can't either. Do we dare put God in our own limited boxes? Do we set perimeters and boundaries for God when we should not? Do we allow other people to speak into our lives to tell us what God promised us that you ain't gonna get that God can't do that? How dare we? God is God. And God placed his power on the inside of us. God is bigger than your fears. God is bigger than your worry. God is bigger than your anxiety. God is bigger than your disbelief and your limitations in your own. He's bigger than that. And the reality is we can't stop God's power from flowing. With us or without us, God is still all powerful. But he chooses to place that power on the inside of us, and too often we don't understand the power that we have as children of God. Don't you understand the power that you have? That you have the power to open your mouth and speak the oracles, the word of God, into the life of an unbeliever, and God can change that. That's power, y'all. That's real power. To change their destiny, their eternity forever. That God does the work. He does the doing. He does the saving. But we can speak and people can listen and hear and God can change hearts. That God's power flows. But oftentimes we can unplug from his power. We can unplug from it. I've come to have a strong liking for avocado toast. Yeah. It's not Popeyes. But it's come on. Anybody else in here like you like? Come on, listen. I got some avocado. So y'all. One day I'm in the kitchen, y'all. I got my avocado spread. You know, I got from the Hub, from the HEB, and I put it in a bowl, and I'm doing my thing. I pull the toast out, y'all. I put me two slices of bread up in the toaster, you know. I hit the thing on the toaster for it to go down, and I'm working my magic, y'all. I got my olive oil, and I'm pouring me a little in there. I got me some fresh ground salt. I'm shaking in there. Some fresh ground pepper. I'm putting in there. Some crushed red pepper. I'm throwing up in there, y'all. I'm putting me a little lime juice, a little lemon juice, and I'm stirring, and I'm listening, y'all. I'm waiting for the ding from the toaster. You know, I'm waiting for the ding. It should ding anymore, because as soon as it dings, y'all, boom, it's going to come out. I'm going to slap me some avocado on it, and we're going to eat, y'all. But, I mean, the toaster, it didn't ding. Now, what happened to the ding on the toaster? This toast ain't that old. I'm looking at the toaster, and, y'all, I look up, and the toaster ain't plugged in. I think some of us are like that with God. They're waiting for the ding, but we're not plugged into the power. We're waiting on God to do something. We're waiting for something to come up and pop up, but we're not plugged into the power. And how do we plug into the power? By simply saying, yes, Lord, yes to your will, yes to your way. Do what you want to do in my life. Surrender to God. Be plugged into his power. That he is our power source, and that power resides on the inside of us. And God can do anything but fail, but can God work in your life? Will you allow him to? Stop waiting for the ding. Get plugged into the power. Watch what God can do. God is able. That, according to the text, y'all, he exceeds our expectations.
God's mighty power is at work in us to accomplish infinitely more than we can ask or even think, or to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or even think, according to the power that works in us. This is an exciting verse. Because here Paul uses a double compound word. He makes up his own phrase about God. God ever been so good to you? You didn't have words to express. You just, oh, God good. You can't say the word. He's just that good. But Paul uses a double compound word. He stacks these words upon each other in an attempt to say that God is big and God is strong and God is good. So what Paul is really saying, that God is, he's incredibly incredible. That he's extravagantly extravagant. That he's awesomely awesome in his awesomeness. That he's outrageously outrageous. That he's fantastically fantastical. He's amazingly amazing. And he's indefinitely indefinite. That he's God. That God exceeds our expectations. That God, you can't contain God in a box. So don't try to put God in a box, and don't you put yourself in a box either. God is able to exceed our expectations. He can do more than we could ever think or dream up in our imagination. And I believe this. In order for God to exceed your expectations, sometimes you have to expand your expectations. Let me say that again. In order for God to exceed your expectations, sometimes you have to expand your expectations. What do you expect God to do in your life? When you show up for church, what do you expect from God? Yeah, sometimes our expectations of God we aim so low that we dream so low when God can do so much more in our lives. Is all you expect from God is, God, I need a new house. God, I need a new car. God, I need a new man. Now, if you won right now, don't let those words come out of your mouth. God gave you one. God, I need this. God, I need a woman. I need big bank. I need a title. God, I expect success from you. But notice, the Lord not only gives us, we expect too little. That God not only forgives us of sin, that God forgives us of all sin. God not only loves us when we're good, God loves us when we're bad too. God not only gives us the hope of heaven today, God is preparing heaven for all of us for all eternity. God is at work in you and me, and we shall expect some things from God. Great expectations from God. That God not only gives us our daily bread, but God gives us some beans, some greens, some tomatoes, some potatoes, some ram, some hogs, some mugs. Some chicken, you name it. And God will even give you some ice cream with some Krispy Kreme for dessert. What do you expect from God? Too often times we expect way too little. When God wants to do infinitely more for us, God is able. Finally, y'all, we're going to wrap this up so we can get out of here. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you. Amen. That God is able, there is power through us. That's the last part. Let me read verse 21. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations forever and ever. All glory to him in the church. We have come to understand that we are the church. As we said last week, the church is not a building. The church is made of the people of God. That we are the called out ones that are called to do his bidding, called to do his service, called to do his will. To him be glory in the church. This is our purpose. This is our mission. This should be our desire. This should be our value. This should be what we live for. To allow the power of God to work through us so that God gets the glory. Yeah. Our lives are to be for his glory, not ours. Yeah. Our love is to be for his glory. There's that song that we sing, "For your glory, Lord, I will do anything." That song makes me a little edgy, Minister Terrell. Because I think about that. For your glory, I will do anything. Really?
I mean, for real, though. Because you're singing this song to God. And so when you're driving down the highway, for your glory, I will do anything. And the Holy Spirit said, don't cuss the man out. He cut you off, but will you not? But you do it anyway. For your glory, Lord, I will do anything. Will you? He says, take her number out of your cell phone. Go home to your wife. But for your glory, I will do anything. Give to the Lord. It's the right thing to do. But you put $2 in the offering plate. But for your glory, I will do anything. For real, though. The song makes me nervous. What will you do for God's glory? Can God work through you, in you, and through you so that he gets the glory out of your life and my life? When I think about that word glory, there's a song, the way we put emphasis on it. Glory, glory, glory. That God ought to get the glow. Yes. He gets the glow out of our lives. That everything points to him. That how we live, how we walk, how we talk, that God ought to glow from us. He ought to flow from us so that people around us might know that he is God and there's a Savior by the name of Jesus who loves them and wants to see them saved as well. Let him shine in all his magnificence through us, that we want others to see and to know Jesus Christ and the pardon of their sins. Does the glow emanate from you? Does the shine emanate from you even when you don't feel like it? Do you let the glow glow? Do you let the shine shine? Or when you don't feel it, you try to flip the switch and say, not right now, Jesus. Not right now, Holy Ghost. I got this. We have to let the glow glow and the shine shine so God can get the glory out of everything that we do. Jesus said, I am the vine and you are the branches. Apart from me, you can do nothing. But if we remain in him, we're going to bear much fruit. So throughout every generation, the goal and the purpose of the church has always been to give glory, not to self, not to one another, but to God. I've told this story several times. I like it. I'm going to tell it again. So one Sunday, as they drove home from church, a little girl turned to her mother and said, Mommy, there's something about the preacher's message this morning that I don't understand. Mother said, oh, what don't you understand, baby? The little girl said, well, he said that God is bigger than we are. He said God is so big that he could hold the world in his hand. Is that true? The mother replied, yes, that's true, honey. But Mommy, he said that God comes to live inside of us when we believe in Jesus as our Savior. Is that true, too? Again, the mother assured the little girl that what the pastor had said was true. And so with this puzzled look on her face, she said to the mom, said, Mommy, listen, if God is bigger than us, and if God lives on the inside of us, then he ought to show through. That he ought to spill over. Y'all, that's the glory of God. That God is so big. Come on, he's so strong. He's so mighty. And this God living on the inside, he ought to flow through, y'all. He ought to show out. Is he shining in your life? Are you allowing God to shine in and through you, to flow out of you, to be filled to the fullness and to overflow with God? Can you overflow with praise? Excuse me for just 1 minute while I give praise to God. God, I thank you for blessing me. I thank you for keeping me. I thank you, God, because you're God all by yourself. I thank you that you're bigger than I am, that you're stronger than I am. You deserve more from us, oh God. You deserve more, oh God. More praise, oh God. More worship, oh God. More service, oh God, because you are big, God. You can work through us. You don't have any limits. You don't have any boundaries. You're God all by yourself, oh God. So live in me, Jesus. Have your way. Do what you want to do in and through me, and may you get the glory. May you get the glory out of everything that I do. And so if the Lord's done something good for you, you ought to be able to praise his name. Stand up on your feet and shout and tell God, thank you. And so we can take all of our boxes, all of our pretty boxes, and drop the box God, do what you want to do. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundant above all we can ask or even think, according to the power that is within us, that God wants you to live a life without limits and without boundaries. God wants you to live beyond the box. So drop your box and let God do what God does. Amen and hallelujah. Amen and hallelujah. God, use me. I'm ready. I'm open, God. I'm ready to receive, God. Use me, God. I'm ready to receive, oh God. I'm ready to receive, oh God. Use me, oh God. God, I drop my fears. I drop my worries, oh God. My disbelief, my unbelief, and I trust you in this very moment, oh God, that I want to live a life beyond the limits, oh God, beyond my own boundaries, my own thinking, oh God. And I want to live a life that pleases you. And so how do I not box God or myself in? It's real simple. Believe that God is able. I wonder how many folk in the house believe that today, that God is able. Don't fool me now. Are we say that like a cliche, like a motto, but how many believe he's able? That whatever the enemy stole from you, God can give it back. That God can do anything but fail. That you may be troubled in your body and in your mind, but God is able. That's the simple point. That if we're going to move beyond our limitations and our boxes, don't look to yourself, but look to God, the God who is able to do so much, to do so much more, and he gives us so much more. So have you surrendered your life to God as a priority? Which begins with salvation. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. None of us have gotten it right. But God sent his son into the world to give his life as a sacrifice for you and for me. That we can live beyond the limits of sin and live a life that pleases God. And now is the time if you have not. Yesterday is gone. Tomorrow is not promised. All you have is right here, right now, today. And so we acknowledge that God sent his son. And his son is our Savior. We repent and we turn from our sins and we turn to God. We turn to his son. We confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. We believe that God raised him from the dead. We receive him as the Lord and Savior of our lives. We receive the reality that God is able. So if you're here today, and just based upon this message and the Lord speaking to your heart, that you may say, preacher, listen, I don't have this saving relationship with Jesus, and I want it. That I feel this tug in my heart that what you're speaking is true, and I need it. Well, you can receive him today. Our ushers are standing in the aisles right now. And so if you in this moment choose to be a member of God's kingdom first by being saved, and if you choose to be connected to this local church, Living Faith Community Church, you can do that today. That we are a church that connects real life to a real faith. They're standing in the aisles. If you just want to get up and right from where you are, they will lead you to room number one. They will gather some information and we'll welcome you with open arms. So we invite you today, we don't rush this moment, to get up from where you are. Go to room number one. They'll gather some information. We'll welcome you with open arms. Tuned in today to online ministry, there is an online for open arms.
You've just heard Pastor Kevin Love of Living Faith Community Church, located at 1111 Tally Road in San Antonio, Texas. You're welcome to join us for Sunday worship service at 9 a.m. and Wednesday night Bible study via Zoom at 7 p.m. Living Faith Community Church, where we're connecting real life to a real faith.